You are listening to a message by Pastor David Guzik for Enduring Word. For more information about our ministry, please visit enduringword.com.
Psalm 67. I am so excited about tonight because it's the first night of something we've never done before, put on a conference over successive evenings. And I got the privilege of sort of starting it out. I'm the pastor of this church. I pretty much do whatever I want, huh? And so, sure, man. Yeah. You're lucky I didn't decide I'm going to speak every night. We just get it out of the way right now. And when we were thinking of a theme, when we were praying, God, you know, what do you want? What do you want for a theme? We wanted something that would just talk about God's word going out to all the earth. And so we settled on Psalm 67, verse 2, where it says that your way may be known on earth. Isn't that great? Yeah. I mean, that has a vision for the whole earth. But it's not just that verse we want to think about tonight. I want to just spend a little bit of time and walk you through the whole psalm. Psalm 67. Let's read the whole thing and then just take it apart piece by piece. God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Lord, we pray that as we give consideration to this passage of Scripture, you'd open the eyes of our heart, open the eyes of our understanding to perceive what your Spirit would say to us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice how this psalm starts. God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Do those words sound familiar to anybody? That's because it's taken from Numbers chapter 6, the blessing that Aaron, the high priest, was to pronounce upon the people. And this wasn't to be just a thing done occasionally in the land of Israel. Matter of fact, as a part of their customary morning and evening sacrifices, every morning when the presiding priest would stand over the people, he'd lift up his hands and he'd recite that blessing that goes, may the Lord keep you and bless you and make his face shine upon you. May the Lord God lift up the light of his countenance upon you and be gracious to you and give you his peace. I love that passage of Scripture. I end just about every Sunday morning and a lot of Wednesday nights by blessing the people with that blessing. And you know, people like it when I do that. I think they get tired of it. But you know, I found something about people. They want to be blessed. People want to be blessed. And they ask, Lord, just bestow upon me a blessing. We want that. And so when the psalmist echoes this, he doesn't quote the whole passage from Numbers chapter 6, but he's calling out to God and he says, Lord, bless us. You see how he starts out? He sat there, be merciful to us. That's where it all starts, doesn't it? We need God's mercy. This sets our heart in the right frame of mind. We're sinners who need the mercy of God. Now, some people might need more mercy than others, right? But we all need it. And we all need it. It's the only way we can find any way before God. The very best saints and the very worst sinners can come together and agree on that, can't they? We need mercy before God. But that's not all. Beyond the mercy of God, we want his blessing. Isn't that mind-blowing? We'd be bold enough to say that. Lord, give me your mercy and your blessing. I mean, think of a guilty criminal standing before a judge. And he goes, oh, have mercy on me, judge. The judge says, okay, fine, I have mercy on you. Go ahead and go your way. He goes, no, judge, wait. I want you to bless me, too. How about, you know, sticking a little bit of money in my palm or something? Bless me, judge. Just get out of here, the judge would say. But that's not our God. Our God says, I want to be merciful to you. Then I want to bless you. That's how God's love is towards us. That's how great it is. And then it gets even better. Be merciful to us, bless us. You see the next thing? And cause his face to shine upon us. Isn't that precious? To have the glorious, happy face of God shining upon us. That's the greatest gift anyone could have. to know that as God looks at you, he's well pleased, not because of who you are or what you've done, but because of who you are in Jesus Christ. There's no greater place of peace or power in the Christian life. What do you have to worry about when God's smiling down upon you? I mean, what kind of cares or concerns can really overwhelm you? When you know that you have that look of approval from God, it creates a deep, happy calm right inside your soul. And all that's so wonderful that he has to pause and he says, look at it there in the end of verse 1, Selah. Now you know what that means? It means sort of pause. It has the idea of up or just lift your heart up, lift your mind up. Take a pause. And most people think that it's sort of a meditative kind of thing. Just stop and think about that, which it might be. But it also might be a musical instruction. You know, these were set to music, right? It could be, you know, bring the band up. Get out that guitar solo right here. Whatever it is, it's emphasis, right? It's emphasis. Whether it's musical emphasis, whether it's meditative emphasis, whether David started really, you know, doing a little fancy strumming there on the lyre right there, I don't know. But it was emphasis. He says, think about this. Let your heart meditate on it. Be merciful to us. Bless us. Cause his face to shine upon us. And then he goes on. Look at it there in verse 2. He says, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Isn't that great? Why does the psalmist ask for the blessing in verse 1? Lord, bless me. I want your mercy. I want your blessing. I want your face to shine upon me. Why? It's not for a selfish reason. He asks for this blessing for the sake of God's glory and for the sake of the perishing multitudes. Lord, I want your blessing so I can be used in other people's lives so that your way may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. And notice the first thing he asks for, your way. Lord, I want your way to be known on earth. Not simply the truth of God or the word of God, not just that to be published abroad, but for your way, the way of the Lord to be known on earth. Doesn't that remind you of the idea in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, what we often call the Great Commission? Where Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. It's not just talking about letting God's word be known, it's let your way be known in all the earth. It goes more than simply evangelizing and saving souls, so that's the place where it all has to begin. But then it's making disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you, Jesus said. Now, of course, you have to know God's word before you can walk in his way, right? But there's some people who know God's word, but they're not walking in his way. That's not it. It's both. And the nations need to know that. They need to know the way of God and that it may be known, where does it say in verse 2? On earth. Not just Jerusalem, not just Judea, not just all of Israel, not just the Middle East, not just the Mediterranean world, not just that part of the continent or that hemisphere, all the earth. That's how big God's vision is. And God wants us to have the same heart and the same vision for all of the earth. He even goes on to say, not just your way, look at it at the end of verse 2, your salvation among all nations. Of all the ways of God, isn't that the best one? The way of salvation. That's the one everybody really needs. You know, we should see a perishing world and long for God's salvation among all the nations. But don't miss the connection between verse 1 and verse 2. Lord, bless me so that I can be a part of making your way known in all the earth and your salvation among all the nations. Are you a member of the Bless Me Club tonight? You know, bless me, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. And God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you more than you even know. But when you're part of the Bless Me Club, your cry for blessing is essentially a selfish one. It's like that self-interested child. All they can see, their whole world revolves around this. Daddy, give me this. Mommy, give me this. Give me, give me. And it's just for themselves. It's not to go share with somebody else. It's not to give it out. That's immaturity, isn't it? No, God wants to take you out of the Bless Me Club. Not that he wants to stop blessing you, but he wants to bless you and channel his blessings through you to other people so that his way can be made known on all the earth and his salvation among all nations. But it doesn't even stop there. I mean, it gets better. Look at it in verse 3. He says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Now, notice this. He's not saying this to the peoples. Although you could, right? Isn't that a great thing to tell? Hey, praise God. Each and every one of you, praise the Lord. Give praise and honor to God. That's an honorable thing to say, but that's not what the psalmist is saying. He's praying to God, saying, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. It's a prayer to God. When we pray like this, we're praying according to the heart of God, who desires that none perish but all come to repentance. We're praying according to the heart of God, who's ordained that a great multitude from all nations, tribes, and peoples, and tongues, that they're going to praise him before his throne. And I love how he puts it here. Look at verse 3 again. Let the peoples praise you, O God, right? And then he goes, no, wait a minute. That might not be full enough. He says it again. Let all the peoples praise you. All of them. I want all of them to praise you, God. I want to take it a step deeper. I don't want the earth just to know God's way. I don't want the earth just to know God's salvation. I want all the peoples to praise him. Now, isn't there something wonderful about a bunch of people praising God together? Now, I don't know if you've ever been to one of these big stadium events that Christians get together and have. One of the best parts about them is the praise that's offered. I mean, it's almost transcendent when you get thousands of voices together, united, praising God. There's some things that, you know, can happen in the Christian life better in a small group than in a big group. But praise isn't necessarily one of them. I mean, there's just something marvelous about praise. More the merrier, right? The more people praising God, the more powerful it is. And that's a vision he has. Let all the peoples praise you. There's something incomplete about our walk with God until we are praising him. Do we have the same heart? Or are we going to write off some peoples and make the verse say this, let some of the peoples praise you. The rest of them, well, I don't care. They can perish. No. The heart of God is let all the peoples praise you. And it has a joyful anticipation. Look at here in verse 4. He says, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. You get the point there, right? Why should the nations be happy? He says, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Why? Because God is coming to judge the people righteously and to govern the nations on earth. Jesus is coming back. And is that even a greater incentive than ever to say, hey, let's get busy about the work of preaching the gospel, about taking God's way, God's salvation, God's praise all over the earth? God forbid that knowing that Jesus is coming soon should make us less passionate about evangelisms and missions. It should make us more passionate, more excited to say, he's coming back. Let's make his way known, his salvation known, and his praise is known all through the earth. And look at what he's going to do. You shall govern the nations on earth. It's going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to rule over planet earth as King of kings and Lord of lords. We want to get the nations ready for it. Let's go. He's coming. Prepare as many people as possible that that coming will be a blessing for them instead of a curse. You want to know how important it is? Look at what's at the end of verse 4, Selah. Stop. Think about it. Lift your minds up on this one. Jesus is coming back. Let's get the people ready for it. Then he goes on, verse 5. I mean, you get the idea of repetition here? He says it again. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Say, wait, I thought you said that in verse 2. Lord, he's just wasting ink in the word? No, and there's something repeated. It's for emphasis. It's no vain repetition, but it's a chorus worthy to be sung again and again. Everybody should praise God. Now, I really love this psalm because the last couple of verses include the answer to the prayer. He's been crying out before God with this prayer, Lord, bless us so that we can be a blessing to others and take it all over the earth. Lord, do it. And then now verses 6 and 7, this is the answer to the prayer. First, he says, then the earth shall yield her increase. Isn't that it? I mean, when the earth knows God's way, when they see God's salvation, when they see God's praise, then she's going to yield her increase. The fruit's going to come forth, and the appointed purpose for the earth will be fulfilled. Praise God. God created this earth to be the habitation of people who love him and worship him. And that's when the earth is going to fulfill its destiny. The earth is never going to yield her increase. It's never going to find its fruitfulness, its fulfillment, until she knows God's way, God's salvation, and God's praise. And it's the same for our lives, right? We're never going to yield increase in our lives until that happens. Finally, look at the blessing for the one who prayed, right? Look at it here, verse 6, the middle of it. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. You know, you have that kind of heart for God's work all over the world. You want to see God's way, God's salvation, and God's praise extended all over the world. You know God's going to bless you for it. And isn't it incredible here? We see a dynamic that when we share God's heart and vision for the world, we're going to be blessed. We must be blessed. And it's a glorious circle, right? It starts out in verse 1. Oh, Lord, bless me, God. I want to be blessed so that I can be a channel for your work to the nations to reach a hurting world. And then that lines you up more and more with the heart of God. And then he blesses you even more. And when he blesses you even more, then you want to reach the nations more. And then you're even more in line with the heart of God. And it just keeps going and going in a beautiful circle, when blessing to work to glory to blessing over and over and over again. You know, it's worth taking a look tonight and seeing if somewhere in your life you've broken that circle. You know, maybe you've stopped believing that God wants to bless you. Maybe you've stopped seeking to extend that blessing all over the earth. Maybe you've stopped seeing God's heart in it all. Now, if we don't break that circle and keep that circle going, man, it's just going to move from glory to glory. And he says it at the end too, God shall bless us. I mean, he says it twice in a row to emphasize a confident expectation. Look at it again, verse 6. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. That's it. He's no doubt about it. And look at the last line. It's the conclusion. It's the answer to the prayer. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. You know, at the end of it all, God's going to get the glory, the respect, the honor, the praise that he's worthy of. You know, we may never get the respect. We may never get the glory and the honor. We may never face anything but hardship. We might end up poor and broken and persecuted and even laying down our lives and be more blessed than ever, because we have the privilege of doing it in the heart of God and along his side, because God has used us in a great way. So how about it? Do you want it? Do you want to say before the Lord, Lord, use me to reach this world. Use me to reach the ends of the earth. You say, well, you know, how? How's he going to? No, when you start asking those questions first, you're going to start making preconditions on God, right? No, just get your heart in the right place and say, Lord, use me. I'm thrilled to think how over the next several days, God is going to call men and women to the mission field. And God is going to call men and women maybe to stay here, but have more of a heart, more of a commitment to pray for, to support, to participate in missions than ever before. And God's word, God's way, God's salvation, and God's praise is going to extend out over the earth more effectively than ever. So let's do it. Let's get it on. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your heart for the world, Lord. And forgive us for the times when we've closed it off. When we've just said, we're staying put right here, and that's all there is to it. God, Lord, forgive us for that. Fire us up for desire to reach this whole world for Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We honor and we praise you tonight, God. Thank you for speaking to us in your word. Keep it coming to us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message by Pastor David Guzik for Enduring Word. For more information about our ministry and how to grow in your relationship with Jesus, please visit enduringword.com.